Well, good morning. Isn't this great, this weather? Got some sun? Yeah. Yeah. He is more than we need. Awesome. Hey, we're going to start. First of all, we need to pray. We'd like to pray for Gary. If you know Gary Crowder, he, of course, leading Monday Night Study. He's just pretty much one of our elders, and he has had shoulder surgery. Say that three times really fast. Shoulder surgery, and he's not feeling too well. So let's pray for him for healing. Father, we come before you now. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you are our healer. We pray for Gary. We pray, Father, that you would touch him miraculously. Help him heal. And this shoulder surgery can be so difficult. And we pray, Father, you would just give him a place of a total peace in you right now. It's removing the pain, whatever it takes, Lord. We just give him to you. We pray, Lord, he's able to come and teach tomorrow night. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray, Father, for the message this morning. We pray that you open our hearts to what you have for us as we continue through your word in Genesis. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, Genesis chapter 7. Let's get right into it. Genesis chapter 7. As we've watched Noah build the ark, like building a 400-foot ship in the middle of Bakersfield. As Noah is obedient, it says this. Then, verse 1 of chapter 7. Verse 1, chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. He's being obedient. He's going in. And we have storms. There's a flood coming, right? This is what this is all about. Getting ready for the flood. We just got through some big storms, haven't we? In fact, it's interesting that the rain total of Ventura City Hall to date is 15 inches. 15.02 inches. Normal is 9.29. So we're at 161% of normal, which is like, yay, thank you, Lord, because we're praying for rain. We need rain, right? But here's a, we looked at people and the issues with the mud and the fires. Prepare yourself for the storm. Get ready, whatever it takes. Get the sandbags and get ready to go. But the storm warnings are here, as we see in Genesis chapter 7 with Noah and the ark. It's this understanding with even in our life. There are storms. There are things that happen. Right? Things that come along. They can be really big things and they can be little tiny things. That comes down to how we react to them. Really, what do we do with this? Last week I had a little thing happen and it was big to me. I was driving, trying to get on the freeway, and I was trying to merge and somebody was not letting me in and they started honking and threw up that salute with the middle finger. And it's really, how do we react? And I wanted to really react back, really, really bad way. But understanding, it always goes back to the Word. And I, of course, got this later, that we're to love those who basically hate us and bless those that curse us. And for His righteousness' sake, we're to, to be loving, and it's difficult. So really, the question is, how do we react? Pray for those who spitefully use us. So it took me a while to get that, but I'm getting it. Lord, help me. And here Noah is literally in this major storm, this the biggest flood in the world ever has been. And he's going to take Noah through this flood safely, through this storm. And as he wants to take you. And we saw Noah. He built this ark. He did it. That's what it said. Noah built the ark. See what it says there in verse 22. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Verse 22 of chapter 6. And what did he do? He took 20,000 species of animals in this huge, big ship. And then at verse 1 it says, and the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. First time this word come is used. This is an invitation. The first time it's used in the Bible. And see, God is always inviting. He's always drawing. He's inviting all of us. It's that, you know, in life to protect us and take care of us. And to really give us eternal life. It's an invitation to all. Jesus says in John 6:47, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life." We're all invited to come. "Come to me," it says in Matthew 11, "all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." There's the invitation. And it's that banquet table. He wants to invite. We see that metaphor throughout the New Testament. Jesus inviting us to that table to eat and rest. And it's the fact now that Noah has to enter the ark. The flood is coming. And it's unimaginable. And he's only, he says, taking only righteous person in his family. See, this righteousness is not from Noah. This righteousness comes from God because he has faith in God. That's why Abraham is accounted righteous, because of his faith. Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." We all need the righteousness of God. We need that. And as we are made righteous by faith, and that's Noah. See, Noah believes the Lord and accepts his invitation. See it? To trust. So Noah and family are blessed in this, as it says, in this generation. The generation is that time and that age. And he listened and he did. He obeyed for his protection and his blessing. And it takes the proverbial, what is it? Step of faith. Taking the step of faith. Noah could have listened and said, "Well, that's nice," and done nothing. And it happens. Like someone who I was talking to last week, they said, sometimes, you know, you hear things, especially in church, maybe sometimes, it goes in one ear and out the other. So put a cork in it. Stop it up. So what does it take, really, as Noah steps into this invitation? What does it take? It takes a, here's the word, are you ready? Commitment. It takes a commitment. What's the definition of commitment? It's an agreement or a pledge to do something in the future. Or it's also defined as a state of or an instance of being obligated or emotionally impelled, a commitment to a cause. It's that type of mentality. I'm going to do this. To go in and stay in this place. This is this, as Noah is invited into this ark, to stay there. We're talking about commitment, in fact, Thursday, and Chuck Johnson, some of the other surfers were talking, and it's one of the things about catching a wave, right? Is, as you surfers know, he who hesitates is lost. You've got to go. You've got to get that wave. And you don't hesitate. But sometimes we all hesitate. We hesitate with things. We just aren't sure. We're not going to... Oh, am I? That was my history of surfing. I wasn't very good. Because I hesitated a lot. And it's discouraging. You get discouraged if you hesitate. But if you go for it, it's the best. Amen? Surfers, right? So we are to commit to the Lord. How much? All the way. Why do we? Because He is. Why do we? Because He is Lord. He's in charge. He's either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. So really, no, not putting pressure on anybody here, but just kind of laying that out here. Here it is. Luke 6:46, it says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" And then in Matthew 7:21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Wow, this is heavy. Noah in the ark is heavy. See, the Lord wants to bless you As Noah is going to be blessed, especially in this storm, this flood. But see, the Lord's not going to pull you against your will. He's not going to drag you there. He's not going to drag Noah into the ark, is he? Ever tried to, if you've ever been around water and been around boats, you know that. How do you get into a boat? You never get into a boat sort of half-heartedly, one foot in and one foot out. It's a disaster. You will end up in the water. Yeah, that's what happens. And I've experienced that. I used to sail quite a bit, and yeah, you've got to be in or you've got to be out. So the best place the Lord has that He promises, He wants you to have peace and rest. Colossians 2:6 says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, Lord, so walk in Him." Get into Him. See, the Lord has a plan and a purpose for Noah. See verse 2? It says, "You shall," here it is, "take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and his female, 2 each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also, 7 each of the birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth." See, he cannot go to that next step until he commits. And the Lord is looking for us as we commit to Him, as we step out and go, "Okay, Lord, I'm in." Because it says, the Bible says in Chronicles, the Lord is looking, His eyes looking to and fro throughout the whole earth for those whose heart is loyal to Him. Because He wants to do this amazing thing in our life, this off-the-chart purpose and a plan. It takes, you know, but you've got to step out and start going. You've got to step. The step of faith. When I was sailing, one of the things you learn about sailing, you've got to be making headway or you're not going to be going. You're not going to be able to steer. You are basically, what the word is, dead in the water. You've got to be making headway. So Noah takes these critters, all these creatures, and the Lord says, "Take the clean animals." These are the ones that are going to be used, we'll see later, for sacrifice. Because God is already linking all that's going on with Noah, all his family, everything that comes alongside is going to go to the point of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. It is leading up to that point. This is all that this is about. Is the line to reach to Jesus, to that point where we know we are saved. And Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice that will pay for all our sins. That will wipe out our sins. And as these animals, we don't know the exact clean animals, but obviously there's some relationship and context to the law that's given to Moses about these animals. And God is going to fulfill His plan with Noah as he goes out. And here's the thing. The Lord's going to do it with Noah or without him. But Noah's in. Just as He is going to fulfill His plan with you or without. I don't want to be the one that's without. I want to be in. That's my heart. And see, we know He migrates. He brings these animals in. That's the Holy Spirit somehow draws these animals in. Just like migration, we have migration in the earth. As He is bringing this all this together, as He is also drawing you by His love, by the Holy Spirit, He's drawing you continuously to Him. The question is, what are you going to do with that? The animals were really good. They go on in, right? 7 clean, perfect, complete. By the way, the number 7 is the number of perfection. Lots of numerology, lots of symbolism with numbers. It's a perfect, complete number for these animals that were clean. And 2 of all the others. Then verse 4 it says, "For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." God's giving this warning, and notice it's a perfect warning within that week period, that 7 days, because it's going to really rain and it's going to flood. God is going to clean the world. He's going to do what He has to do to make sure that you get saved today. It all goes back to this. Do you see that? This all had to happen because it's coming up to the point God has been waiting for you. Is that amazing? It's absolutely amazing. And so what happened? Verse 5. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Again, it's repeated. He did it. He is being, what's the word? Obedient. He trusted. And he trusted without all the information. It's like, really? Get into this ark. What's going to be? How bad is this storm going to be? What's really going to happen? See, I love it when Jesus was told by some people while he was in ministry on the earth that his mother and father are looking for him, and brothers, mother and brother looking for him. And Jesus said to him, but he answered and said to him, my mother and my brother are these who hear the word of God and do it. That's what it's all about. It's doing the word and trusting him, even in the storm, even when things are going crazy. That's the time that people want to bail out. Matthew 8. I love Matthew 8. In fact, turn over to Matthew 8. Will you please? Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 22. This is after Jesus had been told by people excuses of why they're not following Him. Another verse 21 of chapter 8 of Matthew says that another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. It's so easy to want to make excuses. I don't want to do that, Lord, right now. I know I'm supposed to, but I have this thing I got to do over here. Right? But then it says this, now, verse 23, now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest, that's a huge storm, arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves. I mean, it's literally taking in water, but he was asleep. Jesus is asleep. Is Jesus worried about this situation? Is he going to freak out about the storm? Nope. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us! We're perishing! It's that bad of a storm. And obviously Jesus wanted them to go through this to teach them a lesson. And what does he say to them? But he said to them, verse 26, why are you fearful? Are you, oh you of little faith? Why? There is no reason to be. What's your excuse for being fearful? I'm just not sure, Lord. I don't have all the information. I really don't know what's going to happen next. That's what faith is. Substance of things not seen, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things invisible, evidence of things not seen. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Who is it? It is the Lord God. The Lord's looking for commitment, trust, and to go in all the way, no matter what. So look at back there in Genesis 7. Verse 6, it says, Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. No excuse. Even a 600-year-old man God can use. That's pretty old, by the way. Right? No excuse. And it doesn't matter how old. Doesn't matter how young. In fact, Noah didn't start having kids until he was 500. As it said. But it's Noah, get in the ark. Trust and commit. Live in Him. John 15:7. If you abide in me, Lord says, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Abide. Get into Him. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Jesus, understand this, okay? As we look at the ark, Jesus is a type of the ark. Does that make sense? As we abide in Him. That's get into Him. And Noah did. He did it. And he was blessed with his family. Look at verse 7 and 8. So Noah with his sons and with his wife and his sons, wives went into the ark because of what? Of the waters of the flood. They heard the message. They obeyed because of what God said would happen. Of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds and everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. What do? They go into the ark. And they rest in the Lord in this truth, in this promise. Come to me, the Lord says, all you are labor and heavy laden. But let's be honest about all this, all right? Let's just be honest. Is this easy? No. It's one of the hardest things that you will ever do. It is almost impossible. But we just sang that. Nothing is what? Impossible for God. It's like getting in a car, right? You know those, I guess Tesla and some other cars have the autopilot thing that will drive you around. Are you kidding me? Would I trust that? Maybe some do. That takes faith, doesn't it? That's a car. But get into a car without a steering wheel. That would be scary. But see, isn't that what Noah has to do? He's going into this big ship that is no description that it has a rudder. It's just a big floating barge that's going to be tossed around in this storm. That takes faith. That takes faith for us. It's all in the hands of the Lord. But see, we want control. I love it as a kid. You know, I got on those little... We have those old 8mm movies of me as a kid in these little kiddie land driving those cars around the track, and I'm into it. I mean, I'm really steering that car. It's just a wheel. But it feels like I got control. That's us sometimes. It's a lie, people. Life, we don't have control. You don't have a steering wheel. You don't have a rudder. Now look at verse 11. Wait a minute. Yep. Look at 10. And it came to pass, after 7 days, the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the seventh day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. This is it. What happened? On the specific day, the Lord records it specifically on the day of Noah's life, that what happens is these fountains, these great springs that are in the water, in the earth, in the ocean, they're huge springs of water. They literally are broken and burst open like a huge water balloon blowing up and flooding everything. And pumping gazillions of gallons. And see, what's interesting is it speaks of what happens with the rain. I want you to flip back for a second to Genesis 1. Look at verse 6. Genesis 1, chapter 6. When God originally made heaven and earth, this is what He did. Then God said, verse 6, chapter 1 of Genesis, "Let there be a firmament," that's the earth, in the midst, in the middle of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. What's that mean? There's waters on the earth, on the ground, ocean. There's also a water bubble around the whole earth. Like a big water blanket, waterbed that's surrounding the earth. That's what was like back then. And what did it do? I believe it prevented damage to those that are on the earth from radiation. Solar radiation, all the radiation that affects the DNA and our chromosomes. That's, I believe, why Adam was able to live to 900 years. And this is what's happening as God is bursting that. It's over. And it's totally, completely inundating the earth, flooding everything. Because this was a time before this when the earth's climate was perfect. They have fossils of mastodons, these big mammoths, up in Greenland that have been eating vegetation like green jungle food. They find them frozen with stuff. So something's happened. And I believe it all relates to this. This time where culturally this flood occurred, other cultures have spoken of this. As this water bubble blows, and look at verse 12, it says, and on the rain was on the earth, how long? 40 days and 40 nights. All safe with the animals, bobbing around in this big flood and storm. And again, they have to work still. They've got a lot of mess to clean up. Right? There's going to be a lot of animals to take care of. But I want you to notice the number 40. How many days? 40 days. Remember I told you that numerology in the Bible is very symbolically, very specific? What is the number for 40? 40 is a number for testing, for trials, for temptation. This is a test. Who's going to stand? Who's in this huge, this is unimaginable story. Even the flood. Remember Jesus, how many days he was in the wilderness as he was led after his baptism? He went into the wilderness, tempted by the devil, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And we have Moses, who went to Mount Sinai. Talks in Deuteronomy 9, he fasted for 40 days. It's a test. It's to see if he will stay faithful and trust. And to stay in the place of rest. And not give up. Have you ever felt like giving up? Going through something? I just don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to read my Bible anymore. It's too convicting. I don't want to be what it says that Lord wants me to be, to receive His awesome blessings if I just obey. I'm just tired of this, Lord. But here's Noah and his family in this apocalyptic storm, right? I cannot imagine what's going on inside. This at the mercy of the flood, tossed around. You ever been in the ocean where the swells and everything is so high and you're bobbing around? And what happens to you? Exactly. You'll get seasick. And if you've ever been around people that are seasick, and I have, people just want to die. Get me out of here. I just want to die. That's pretty much what we can see what's going on. I'm sure they didn't have Dramamine back there. But again, the Lord could have taken care of them. I was crewing on a sailboat from Catalina to San Pedro in the middle of a storm in February like this. And all you do, you're hiked out on the top, the sailboat's heeled over. All you want to do is just get home. This is, how many hours do I have left to get home? It's a nightmare. But this was what I was talking about here. Nothing compared to 40 days. This test was unimaginable. The test of the temptation to bail out and give up in the storm. Don't trust your feelings. Please, just stay in with the Lord. Be obedient. Hang on. We talked about last time, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Make your way straight. Just hang in there with the Lord. I look back at the children of Israel. As they were, God was taking them out of captivity and slavery in Egypt. And He, with Moses, through the Passover, God provides the Passover lamb, and they were taken out. And of course, then next step is the Pharaoh and his armies coming after them, and their backs against the Red Sea. But God provided again as they kept going forward, committed. They're in. Then they get into the wilderness. The place is pretty dry, but God promised He's going to provide water, and He's providing food every day. But what happens, they finally get, after maybe a couple weeks, up to the promised land, the place of rest. They get there. And then there is this time to go in and check it out. They send the spies in. The spies come back and they said, they're giants. We're going to get eaten up. There's fear. They're not going in. God said, go. Come, you've committed. Just keep going. Trust me. Don't be full of fear. Fear will wipe out that faith and they don't go in. And what happened? Because of their unbelief, that generation, not the younger people, but the older ones, how many years were they in the wilderness? 40, there's that number, years walking around. He provided every need, but they never, ever, ever got in to the place taken care of and rest. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Look at verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, as this is quoting from God's Word from Psalms, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, speaking of the time of the children of Israel did not go in to the promised land. In the days of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. I believe they were saved, but they could never get to that place. Beware, it says, verse 12, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Do not give up staying in and commit. Don't make that mistake to keep worrying and trying to figure it out. Oh, I don't know how this is going to work out. I'm going to just, if I worry hard enough. There's always storms, whether you like it or not. There's always things. So the question is, are you willing to climb in to the ark? Are you going to cross the threshold? Whatever you're going through, it's nothing compared to what Noah had to do. But yet, God still wants to take care of you. He loves you so much. Look at verse 13, back in chapter 7 of Genesis. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female, I want you to listen to this very carefully, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Who closed the door? The Lord did it. Amazing. Noah didn't even have to close the door. That's God. That's what He's promised you, the stamp of love. He wants to seal you up in that. He promised He won't let anything snatch you out of His hand. Abide in Him. Rest in Him. Make that commitment. Or you can stay awake all night trying to figure it out, worrying about it. Right? I know it's not easy. Especially for those that are losing places to live or illness and health issues, family worries. But trust Him, His promises. He will take care of you. Go in into that place. Let the Lord have control. and obey the Lord. I'm going to close with this. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. This is my prayer for you, because as I'm speaking here, there's some here that are going to get this, and some are, it's going to come in here and go out there. The other ear. My prayer is this, that you would receive this. Make that commitment. What's holding you back? Whatever it is, it's fear. Don't let the fear keep you from going in and abiding with the Lord that He wants to. As He promised, ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And it's His desire that you bear fruit. That is, you just have the best, amazing life. This is what it says, verse 16 of Ephesians 3. My prayer for you that you would receive this, please. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with the might through His Spirit in the inner man. Lord, I pray, God, for people right near now that are hearing this, that they receive this, Lord. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Lord, increase their faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that's all the other Christians, all the believers, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. He loves you so much that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, as we hear Your Word this morning, Lord, we pray, Father, that there's response is positive. Lord, I pray that those here full of fear and they're having a difficult time taking that step into You, stepping across the threshold to go into You, Lord, completely. If there's anyone here that says, I'm ready to make that commitment, I'd like you just to please, actually slip up your hand right now. Say, yes, I'm ready to do it. I'm making that commitment. I want to go forward, whatever it takes. Yes. 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 Father, I pray for these hearts that are ready to step forward. I pray that You, right now, as they commit to You, that You fill them with Your love by the power of Your Holy Spirit poured down upon them. Remove any anxiety, remove any fear, and replace it with Your incredible love that we cannot even imagine, that passes all understanding. Lord, bind the enemy. Keep him from discouraging anybody here. And I just pray specifically that You just bless these that want to commit completely. We give it all to You now, Lord. We go forward in You. We thank You for who You are. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand.